You're listening to the Volleyball by Design podcast. Today, I got a special guest for you. We got a player of mine who is a volleyball intellect, a creative mind, and an individual who created his own stat system so that he can assess his play and, you know, look and see exactly how he could become a better volleyball player. His story is saying, or he says rather, that stats don't tell the full story. Now, that's the problem with volleyball stats. They don't tell the full story. So he created his own custom spreadsheet that he believes tells a better story and a story that you could learn from by implementing these stats and understanding what they mean. So this is an episode I'm super excited to share with you guys and you don't want to miss. Stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Coach Brian Singh, and after a number of years coaching competitive volleyball and as the head coach of the biggest college in Canada, I've become obsessed with helping coaches improve their knowledge and skills of the game by teaching them how to coach efficiently and effectively to ultimately reach their volleyball goals. I created the Volleyball by Design podcast to give you simple, actionable, step-by-step strategies so you can get clarity and apply what you learn right away. This is the Volleyball by Design podcast.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to episode 195 of the Volleyball by Design podcast. How is everyone doing out there? Another week of volleyball in the books. Hope you guys are doing well. For my new listeners, welcome to the podcast. My name is Coach Brian Singh, and I'm the host of the podcast. And for my regular listeners, as always, thank you so much for tuning into another episode where the goal, just like every week, is to deliver tangible, step-by-step strategies that you can take back to your gym and apply right away. And that's exactly what we're going to do here today. So I'm super excited to jump on with a player of mine. I've been coaching this player for about a year now, and he's very, very similar in terms of intellect. I mean, I know I had Danon on the podcast a few weeks ago, and Danon is, again, another intellect. Well, this individual is another intellect, like 4.0 GPA. We're talking super, super intelligent when it comes to his academics, the game. A lot of great volleyball conversations I've had with this player, and he's created something kind of special that I wanted to bring to the podcast and share with all the coaches out there. So before we get into that, I want to welcome Aiden to the show. Aiden, what's going on, man? Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, look at you smiling. You're so funny. Yeah, Aiden is a volleyball nerd. This guy will go and watch volleyball all over the country. He will watch games, he will play, he will dissect, analyze. It is cool. It's cool to have a player like that on your team, I gotta say. And we've had some amazing conversations. Here, before we get into talking about volleyball stuff, you want to tell him a little about your story. Like, how'd you get into the game and how'd you end up where you are now?
So about 2 years back, I was missing a lot of competition. Like, I really like competition, and there wasn't really any, because after high school, it was either university or nothing. And so just missing that. And then I found volleyball and really loved the grind of volleyball. Like, I love working, practicing, getting better at it, because it's a really challenging sport. And then I found Seneca and trained to be on the team, and was lucky enough to get on the team. And then a year later, here we are.
Yeah, it's interesting. You have a cool story. You have a story that's not very common. So for listeners, so Aiden was he never played, you know, competitive volleyball before. He's never played club ball or anything like that. So he was kind of like an unofficial, like a hybrid walk-on. So this guy sends me film in the off season. He said that he's not going to school. He's training for volleyball for an entire year. He's just going to train. And as a coach, like, when you hear that, you don't really think anything of it, because training for volleyball for a whole year is one thing, but you need that experience to play at the next level, at the college level. You need experience. You need to be able to be put in situations where you get to work on your fundamentals and play at a high level. So the expectations for Aiden was just, you know what, let's see. So we invited him out over the summer. I got a chance to get a look at him and see how he played. And you know what? He showed a lot of promise, a ton of promise. So he ended up making the roster, and developed in like 2 months. This guy developed into one of the better players in our gym. Mind you, no club, no experience, just going and competing in tournaments and all these men's leagues and all that fun stuff. Anyways, long story short, yes, he's, what are you, 6'3", 6'2"?
6'2", 6'3".
Yeah, 6'2", 6'3". Still doesn't know how to jump well yet, but we're getting there. And just the fundamentals and the work that he put in, and he got a ton of play time this season. Like for a walk-on who's never touched a college team before, never stepped foot on a club gym before, and he got playing time. And the league better look out because this year you're gonna be even better. So I'm excited for that. But yeah, let's talk about what you did. So you guys would have heard in the preamble, I talked a little bit about this. We have stats that we take as a coaching staff that are generic, right? And sometimes stats don't tell the full story. We have our kills and assists and our blocks and things like that. But Aiden here realized that there were a lot of things that were not being accounted for that need to be accounted for. And he created his own spreadsheet of the most accurate volleyball stats I've come across in my coaching career yet. And it was created by a player, which is crazy. And you guys know, like, Joe Trinzi, a great friend of mine, he's the one of the stats guru when it comes to volleyball. Glenn Hogue, one of the stats gurus when it comes to volleyball. Even John Sparra, the way that he analyzed and things like that. So you guys, I've been around a ton of amazing coaches, and I've never seen something like this before, especially done by a player. So here, walk me through this, Aiden. Before we start, why did you create this? And then we're gonna get into what this is. So go ahead.
I created it 'cause I noticed that in our game, when we look back at the stats, it doesn't tell like the true story or the complete story of the game, and so I wanted to kind of learning more about the game would help you understand what you need to work on and what you do well at as well, and what the opponent does well or doesn't do well at. So getting a complete better story is a good thing to do. And so I noticed that like the stats that we take, they're not like 100%, they don't tell 100% of the story. For example, like if for whatever reason a hitter rolls an attack into the opponent's defense and they for whatever reason shank it, it's counted as a kill. But like in my mind is that that's not really a kill. That's just the opponent made an error. But on the stat sheet, it's marked down as a kill. So I wanted to create like something that would kind of get 100% accountability for what actually happens in the match, kind of.
So yeah, so it's kind of like if someone gave a lollipop serve that you knew we should have been able to pass and we shanked it for whatever reason, normally on the stat sheet we would credit the server to get an ace. But and I mean obviously in theory too, we would give the server receive a zero as well. But in your mind it goes beyond that. You would not credit that ace to that server, would
No,
you?
no, that's not a nice
And so
in
you
my
wouldn't give, so if we were doing stats for our team, you would not give that ace to our server, even though he got it. And why is that?
because at the level we play at, everyone has to be able to pass a lollipop serve. If you can't pass a lollipop serve, that's on you. That's not the server's greatness of being able to get that ace. They didn't do anything great or good enough to earn that point, per se.
So what about the subjectivity? Like, don't you think that's a little subjective? Like, what if they're
It
serve on
is,
purpose?
yeah, it is subjective. A lot of it is subjective. But
But you
if
still find it tells a more real story.
that's right.
Okay.
Like for example, if you see a lollipop serve, and they shank it, but let's say it actually wasn't a lollipop. It was a lollipop, but it was intentionally short. Then that's what they meant to do, and that's another tactic for a good serve. So I could credit the ace there. It
So
just
you
depends
credit the ace
on,
there. So it all depends on the serve and your ability to assess that serve and see whether or not, that was an
it was a
intentional
tough.
tactical serve or a tough serve or okay. Interesting. Okay. Let's walk through this spreadsheet, and I'll walk through it because I know there's some basic ones, and then I'll stop at the ones that are new and different. So co coaches that can't see this, by the way, if you want to see this, send me a message. Aiden's been nice enough to say that he's willing to share this with coaches. But it'll be a view only, and you guys will have to make a copy of it and then you can change however you want to change it. But he doesn't want anyone to touch his spreadsheet, which I don't blame you. But you guys can look at it and copy it. There's no problem there. So I'll go through it step by step, and then at the ones that are different, we'll kind of stop at. So we have the kill, which is basic, right? General kill. We have a tip slash roll. So that's if you score off a tip or roll. We have an attack off the block. So by the way, these are all separate columns, okay, coaches? These are all separate columns. We have a separate column for a kill. We have a separate column for a tip or roll. Okay, it still counts as 1 point. We have an off the block kill. We have a set or dump. And those are the four ways you can score a ball on offense. Okay, so those are the four ways you can score a ball offense: a kill, a tip or a roll, off the block, and then a set or dump. Then we have total kills. Okay, so these are all going to add up to total kills. Then we have an ace. Then we have blocked, so a blocked ball. Okay. Then we have a hitting error. So these are all basic stuff so far. The only difference so far is we've broken down kill into three different kills, and then set or dump, obviously. We have a blocked ball. So Aiden, I see we have two columns. We have blocked, and then we have blocked again in red.
So the blocked in gray is for when you get a block. So let's say Josh is the first player in the column or the row.
Yeah.
Josh has one block. That means he blocked the opponent once. But
Okay.
I don't atone that a point to a point. I atone. I credit or I guess it's more of a negative credit for when someone gets blocked. So if you get blocked, that's like a hitting error. I credit that as a hitting error.
You credit someone getting, this is where we had that argument. I remember this one. We were talking about it. Yeah, I disagree with you here, but go on.
So I credit if you get blocked, it's your fault because you're hitting into that block. And it's the setter has the advantage, and if you don't score with that advantage, I kind of give you the error there.
Okay, so if you get blocked, you get an error. Okay, we'll come back to that, but I just want to understand. Okay, so new stat here. If
That's
you if
also up for debate too. Like anyone can change that if based on like if you copy this and then use it for your own, you can just change that as well. Like it's not like just the way I do it. Like it's
yeah, so
not a
you
set
believe
thing.
that if there was a ball that you could score on and you get blocked, that's your fault. That's on you. Okay. And then we have hit error, and we also have blocks. That's the second blocked in red. What's the second blocked in red for?
So that's when you get blocked.
And the gray one is?
The gray one is when you block someone.
Oh, when you block someone. Okay, got it. And we have serve. All right, here's a new one. Setter hitter connection error. Talk to me about that one.
So that one, I assess the play when it's usually when a setter is setting a middle and the set's off or the connection, the middle. The setter hitter connection between the middle and setter aren't isn't there, and they get an error because of that. So let's say like the middle will run a 30, but the setter will set a quick for whatever reason. I'll give like an error to either the setter or the hitter based on whoever I think it's whoever I think the fault is, basically.
Whoever's at fault for that miscommunicator, that miss hit,
Yeah, that's right.
the setter and the hitter. Interesting. Okay. Then we have set error, ball handling error, so basic stuff, net violation error, blocking error. What's the difference between a net violation error and a blocking error?
So a net violation error is obviously when they touch the net, but a blocking error is another subjective thing. For example, I do it as if someone lets the ball go through their hands on the block and they get a point because of it, I count that as a blocking error. Or if let's say like a middle comes to close and they have enough time, but they don't close fully and the ball goes through the seam, I would count that as a blocking error because the middle should have closed that.
Okay, so what if the middle gets beat? Like, what if
If
one-on-one
it's
situation, tempo comes in, middle has to jump, or middle reads wrong or whatever reason, the 101 on the outside. What happens there?
Yeah, if it's a tempo ball and they don't have enough time to actually get out there, then I don't credit that a blocking error if they hit seam. It's only when they have like enough time, like it's a high
So when
ball.
they're there. So if the
Yeah.
block is there and it's established and they go up there and they get an error, then sorry, then they if the other team scores, then you commit the blocking, you got them a blocking error.
If they score through seam.
Okay, but what about this though? But so you said earlier though that if you get blocked, it's on you. And then if the blockers go up there and the other team scores because, volleyball is an offensive game where the offense has the advantage. So if the offense scores because they found a way to score off your block, would that be a blocking error?
Say that again.
Okay, so let's say you go up there, your block is there, perfectly sealed.
Perfectly
Perfectly sealed
sealed.
block.
Yeah.
Attacker swings off the hands, out. Attacker scores. Is that a
Yeah.
blocking error?
That's a good question. No, that's not a blocking error. Because the blocker did all they could to block that ball. The hitter, but the hitter has the advantage in the situation. That's why the hitter was able to score, because they saw the block and they used it. But the blocker did block to the best of the ability, because if the blocker changed the block, let's say like dropped their hands
Yeah.
and then they swung full right down, then it's the only fault it would be the blocker, because the blocker let that ball go through.
So this is more of a technical thing. So if the blocker is there on time but does something but the hand positioning is off, their shoulders are down or something like that, and they score off the block, or they score through the block. So this is more if they score through the block.
Mainly through, yeah, mainly through.
So if they score through the block, then it's a blocking error in your opinion. They should have been able to seal that block. Fair enough. Okay, reception error, we know that. A dig error. What is a dig error?
So a dig error, I would say is when the defense should be able to dig a ball, but for whatever reason they shank it, or they let the hit the ground, or something of that sort. It's another subjective call, but basically it's just when I think that they should have dug it and they didn't dig it.
Okay, fair enough. So why not that? That's not a ball handling error. You call that a dig error because it's off an attack?
Yes, it's not a ball handling error, because it kind of separates it into more separate categories, so you can kind of see. Okay, let's say if a digging error was a ball handling error or something else, then they would be grouped together and you wouldn't be able to distinguish the two. When you split them
Oh, I
apart, then you
see.
can distinguish that there's a lot of digging errors. Maybe we need to work on our defense as a team.
Right, because ball handling error is different. Yeah, okay, fair enough. Because ball handling error is different than digging error. I get you. Okay. Ball drop error. What is that?
This is kind of a rare one. It's mainly when like there's, let's say, one or more per people watching the ball drop, and they just, none of them go for it. It's like a communication error, but yeah, it's just like when the ball drops right in front of two people, or someone lets the ball drop, that, let's say it's libero's ball for second ball, but the
Yeah.
libero doesn't go for it and the ball drops because of that would be a ball drop error on the libero.
Okay. So for all of these stats, are they all 1 point each?
Yes, except for the gray blocked,
The which one?
the gray blocked column. There's
Oh,
two block
the block.
columns.
Oh, so yeah, the block column where you get blocked.
No, when you do the blocking, that's when there's
Oh,
no
sorry.
point. Like if you get a block, because there can't be 2 points off a block. Like there can't be a positive and a negative for the other team. So I just give the negative to the other team and just negate the blocks that you got. But yeah, everything, all the kills, tip roll, off block, kill, setter dump, and ace, those are all positive that give you a
Like plus
plus
one.
one. Yeah,
Yeah.
and then everything else, all the other types of errors, are the things that give you negative one.
Okay. And so blocked is when you block the ball in the gray. Is that right?
Yes.
Blocked is when you block the ball, and blocked in the red is when someone blocks you. So if you block the ball, it's just your point.
It's
If
like
you block the ball, shouldn't you get a point for that?
I don't put it as that, 'cause you can't have let's say Josh gets a block, right?
Yeah.
But if Josh gets a block, that means the other person on the other team hit into that block and would get a negative one. And so that wouldn't add up like correctly. So you can't have 2 points in 1 point.
Okay, so you still have to credit that block, but that's still a point
That's
for.
yeah. That's why I leave a column there for to see how many of those blocks each player got. So you can like kind of credit the player when they get blocks. I just don't count it to a point. But like if you
What do
look at
you
their
mean?
plus
So,
minus, and
yeah.
then you look at the blocks, then you can realize, okay, they got a plus minus of this, and then they also got three blocks too. So it's like, yeah.
Okay, so you don't add it in their plus minus, but you factored in it at the end. Like you can look at it and say they still okay. So that's more of a manual add. Okay, so oh, and then you so and then you do so when you say you so do you do this for the other team too?
No, I just do it for our team.
So then why wouldn't you give us a blocked for when we block a ball then? Who cares about the other team then if that's the case?
Oh, I see it. No, I do do it for the other team, but I don't do it player by player for the other team. I just say, like, let's
Oh,
say
I
we're playing
see.
Algonquin, I'll just give the block to Algonquin, or the hitting error to
You'll
Algonquin.
just go plus one, minus one for them. You won't actually categorize it and all that stuff.
That's
Okay.
right.
I see. Okay, interesting. So the new ones that we have here, a kill is broken up now into a regular actual kill, a tip or a roll, an off the block kill, and the setter dump. So those are all positive plus ones. And then you have your total kills, right? That's a combination of all four of those things. You have your ace, you have your, well, this is not graded here, but when you block a ball, then you have hitting error, and then you have when you hit into a block and get blocked, that is a minus one. That is new. Never seen that before. Then you got serve, you got setter hitter connection error, never seen that before. So that's an interesting one. Ball handling error, we've seen net violation, a blocking error. So we have a net violation error, and then we have a blocking error, and that's basically if the ball goes through the hands where it shouldn't have done that. We have a reception error, and we have a dig error. A dig error is another one where, according to Aiden, if you think you should have had that ball, if you should have popped that ball up, you should have been there. Or otherwise, I mean, again, if the ball is coming at you really fast and the offense did their job, then that's another story. But if it was a ball that, as a player, as a coaching staff, you thought that player should have that ball, then they get that error. But the ball drop error, when the ball drops when you should have been able to touch it or at least get it, and then we go from there. And then you have your total points minus total errors, and you get what you call a true plus minus. Is that right? This is your true plus minus.
I don't know. It's hard to say that it's a true plus minus, because I more look at it as like it tells the story of the match, like what actually happened in the match and what points were given, like who got which point, who was the main factor of each point. But like it doesn't completely tell the story, because as well, that's just stats, but like a player could still have a really good game. And let's say they go for every attack they go, like most of the attacks they have generates a free ball back. But then
Okay.
someone else gets the point after that free ball. So that
Right.
point would go to the other hitter. But yeah. It just
Well,
mainly is.
that's a great example there. So what would happen in that situation according to your stats? Let's say that you went, swung, took them out of system, got a free ball back over, and then the opposite got a kill. So in the stat book, it would show you as an attempt and not a kill, just an attempt for you. And then it would show that your opposite got an attempt and a kill. So what you're saying is that you would get credit for taking them out of system in that situation?
No, the opposite would get credit with the kill,
Yeah.
but you wouldn't get credit to anything, just because that's how the point was scored. The point was scored by the opposite, and
Right.
not by you. But you didn't do
How's that
anything
different?
wrong, and you
Yeah.
did, but you did
That's the
also.
same thing as we normally do now. Like you get your attempt, and we get our kill
Yeah,
when it comes back over.
that part is similar.
Okay, so give me a situation where it would be different using yours.
Like I think the example I gave earlier, where like when you when let's say it's out of we have an out of system ball, and we let's say we free ball it over, and they for some reason didn't pass that ball, then we would get credit of the kill, like on the stat sheet,
Yeah.
but in reality they made an error.
Okay.
They made a either a ball drop error or a digging error or whatever sort.
Right. So how would that look for us when you with your stats here though? You would
My
still
stats
get
here.
someone would still get a kill for it.
No, not on this one here. This one,
No
no one
one
would
would
get a
get a kill
kill.
for that.
No one would get a kill for a bump kill, for an easy lollipop roll. Yeah.
Interesting. So these are like, if it was a true kill that it had an impact, like that's what you're
True
putting here.
kill. Yeah.
A true kill. Interesting. Okay, so let me ask you this. Ever since you did this, so there's a lot of different things here as we've gone through twice now. There's a lot of different things you're factoring in. How has this helped you? So you've done it for a full season now.
Yeah.
So
So
how has this helped you?
it helps me paint the picture of like what our team is weak on, what we're strong in. Like, for example, for me, like I look at myself and I see what kills I got during the match, what I made errors on. Let's say I had like four receiving errors, then that means I need to get my receiving up. Let's say I had like five digging errors that I need to get, like I had a bad digging game. And then
So
you can
then,
also look at
what?
serving and stuff. Yeah.
Okay, so let me, I'm gonna rephrase that. What? How has this helped you? Because we give you guys our stats as well. So you have the coaching staff stats, and then you have your cool spreadsheet that you've created. How does this help you more than the regular stat sheets that any coach listening to this would has probably done with their team?
I think it just paints a clear picture of what actually happened during the game. I know it's not 100%, because you can never get like a true 100%
Yeah.
accuracy, but I believe it paints a more accurate picture than the stats that like we or the OCAA does.
Okay. So these
Because
extra stats that you've added in definitely help with that. Well, I can see that. Like setter hitter connection. We will never factor those in on a regular stat sheet. That doesn't happen. Getting blocked, we don't factor that in. That's an attempt.
that's an
Now you got
attempt, right?
blocked.
Yeah,
Yeah, so
that's one big
definitely.
thing that, yeah, I don't see a block as getting blocked as an attempt. Like, it definitely has to have some kind of negative toll, because getting blocked is a point for their team, and if you just kind of ignore it, yeah, well, it doesn't tell a true story.
Yeah, so this is interesting because you can tell this is created from a player mindset point of view, because you want to see how many times you got blocked on a stat sheet, which you never
Yeah.
can see. You want to see how many times there was a setter hitter relationship error between it could be between a setter and a left side, a setter in the middle, a setter and opposite. You want to see how many times that happened, which may have led the other team to a point, which is interesting. I do like that. I do disagree. I mean, you've heard my disagreements with certain things, like certain like if you get blocked, yeah, I guess that's a bad thing. But at the same time, I guess my argument is, well, what if you guys set into the block? Well, your argument's gonna be, well, that's a setter hitter relationship problem then. And then all of a
Yeah.
sudden, yeah, that's where the story gets told here.
Or if you got set into the block, there's always a way you can get out of that situation, because the
I
hitter does
agree.
have the advantage, right? You can swipe,
Yeah.
you can recycle. So there's many different ways, things that you can do.
I like your ball drop error. I like your idea of a digging error, like the mindset behind that, like you should. I like the idea of the reception error, in the sense of if it's not a real ace, that if it's like you should have got it, then you should have got it. You don't credit the ace. I do like that one. Okay, yeah, this is interesting. So any other things that you want to add to this so our listeners can take away? Because there's a lot of cool things here, I think, that are definitely useful for coaches to take away, and things that maybe coaches have not thought about. Is there anything else you want to add to this, that of why you created this or how coaches can benefit from this? Besides, I get that it tells a story, tells the full story of the match.
Yeah, it gets a different point of view as well, and it kind of compartmentalizes how you look at stats and how you how certain things happen. Like, for example, the digging column in a match, you would never know. Like, let's say you're having like a great kill percentage game, and you're like, why did we just lose that set? And then you look back and you can't tell based on the stats that you recorded. But if you look at the, like, let's say you had like seven, eight digging errors. It's like, well, that's the reason why we lost that match. It's because the digging error is something that we didn't really atone for.
And a digging error is the ball that you should have got up, but you
Should have
didn't.
got. Yeah.
Maybe.
Like if they blast the ball at you and you get a touch on it, like that's not your fault. That's just a kill for them. I would say. But yeah.
Interesting. So again, a lot of subjectivity, but you know what? As a coach, it you have to you have your own expectations of your athletes. So I guess this is good because then you can actually put what your expectations are into the stats as opposed to just a generic stat sheet that you follow on an iPad. Okay, this is great. No, this is fantastic. I love it. So for coaches that are listening to this, just reach out to me and I'll definitely share this spreadsheet with you guys. And just to recap a couple of things that we talked about here. So we have your regular kills, right? Your regular kills. Then we have tip roll, off the block, and setter dumps. Those are also kills, but we categorize them differently so you can distinguish between certain types of kills versus certain types of points. Then we have your total kills at the end. Then we have your aces. We have when if you get blocked. So that was interesting. If you get blocked, you won. We have if you obviously if you block someone. We have setter hitter connection error. It's a new one there. Okay, so factoring that in. Net violation error, blocking error. So a blocking error and a net violation error. Aiden has differentiated. So on a regular stat sheet, a blocking error is just if you touch net or you go under the net or whatever. That's considered a blocking error. However, here we have a net violation error, which is what I've just mentioned. And if you have a ball that goes through your hands that you should have blocked, or at least got it, or at least blocked the ball over the net. Now, that doesn't have to be a point, but it has to be a ball where you either funneled it into our defense where we dug it, or we got a touch and it went back on the other side. Then we have a digging error. So a ball you should have dug, you should have popped it up, but you didn't. Again, not a hard driven ball where the offense scored, where this is if you as a coach think that you could have got that ball up. Ball drop error, which I love. I love the ball drop error one. That's a good one. And then you do your total errors or your total points minus your total errors, and you get a nice little story here that you can go back and look at and see exactly what you did. Now, I know it does take time to enter all this in, so that there is time. How long does it take you to do a match now?
I could do it like each set takes like maybe 20 minutes. It's around the same time as you play it, but
Okay.
I think I'm getting a bit faster so I can get faster than that, but yeah.
Okay. So at the beginning it takes some time.
Yeah, it
But
does take time.
you think it's worth it with the story that it
Yeah.
tells.
I also just really love stats and I really do love to see like the game come together in this way.
Right. And you have your nice color-coded system here and
Yeah.
nice way of telling this story for an entire team. And I realized when I first looked at these stats, I realized that it's really hard to become positive then because really
Yeah.
everything is negative,
Yeah.
except maybe a handful of things. So
Yeah.
it's very, very tough to be positive.
Yeah. Because volleyball is such a technical sport and there's so much room for error. At least at like the collegiate level. But when you go to pros, like obviously they make less serving errors, they make less hitting errors, digging errors, all that stuff, and they usually get more kills like as a result. So there would be more positive, but here in the collegiate level, there's a fair amount of errors. So yeah, it tends to be more negative.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. This is pretty cool. Is overall, yeah. No, this is pretty cool. No, I appreciate that. All right. Well, listeners, let me know. Do you have any last minute thoughts to our listeners before I wrap it up here?
No.
Okay. So you guys are gonna go back and you're gonna probably ask to see this, which you will. But even if you don't, like this is something really cool that you can add to your own stats. Like maybe something like I know with iStat V-Ball 3 that we use, we can add custom stats into there. So this is an idea where you can throw in a custom stat if you can do that. or just keep track of it separately and add it into your total stats at the end to tell a cool story. And I think one of the biggest takeaways that I got from this was when you first showed me this at the beginning, was I never thought about adding in a custom stat that I wanted to see in a game. Now, that was the thing for me. Like we use a generic stat sheet that many coaches will use, and we use a stat that's given to us that is normally that are volleyball accepted stats because that's what it's used. But I never thought to myself to be like, what do I care about? Like, what is a stat that I want to keep track of and add that into the plus minus? Because if it's valuable to me, then it's valuable to our program and it's going to be reflected in our players. So by adding that stat, and I can now hold the players accountable. Like, I love the setter hitter relationship one. I love the ball drop one. Like, that's something that we would not stat that in a regular game stat sheet. The point would go to the opponent, and that'd be it. But now we could have a different, we'd have a distinguished category for a ball drop error, or a setter hitter relationship error, something like that. So I really like that. I really like that. It's a really cool way of thinking. So coaches, I think that's another takeaway for me, coaches, is that whatever stat's important to you can add it into your stats, and you can add it into your overall plus minus at the end. And you know, in basketball, they call us the PER. You know what that is? The PER in
No, I
basketball?
don't. I
It's
don't.
like a player rating. It's really cool. So they have like their own player rating where they'll do like, you know, their plus minus system, and they get the actual PER of a player, which is what the player's worth, or the player's grade, I guess, at the end of the game. Volleyball doesn't have a PER because we have different positions. You know, like setting, like if you're a setter, you're never going to get a kill. So your PER would be different if we were doing it like with basketball. Everybody scores. People pass, people get rebounds, people affect the game in different ways. But at the end of the day, it could all be plus. Like, if I get an assist, that's a plus one. If I get a rebound, it could be a plus one. If I score the basket, that could be a plus one. You know, there's so many different ways you can do plus minus in other sports. But in volleyball, not everyone can do everything. Liberos can't attack. Setters are going to set. You know, like there's so middles are only on for three rotations out of the six. So it's so different. So I like this. This is really cool because this opens you up to now starting to think about, hey, you know what? We can add in our own stats. We can add in different things to it. So I really like that. So yeah, coaches, you have any questions? Let me know. Feel free to reach out, and we can share this with you guys. I love it. DVA members, I will post this in our DVA group as well, so you guys will have access to this too. If you're not a DVA member and you'd like to be, just head on over to digitalvolleyballacademy.com and find out more information there. And that's about it from us. Aiden, thanks so much, man. I appreciate you taking the time to come on the pod with me. You're gonna have tens of thousands of coaches listening to this, so it'll be kind of cool. And for my listeners, thank you so much. I will see you guys next week on another episode of the Volleyball by Design podcast. Take care.
All right, cue the music. Look, are you at the stage you want to be in your volleyball journey? How would it feel to get clarity on your training, and instead of taking months to get better, you could improve in weeks, if not days? When I was a young coach and player, I felt this way all the time. The truth is, after I got some great advice on how to be efficient, my learning curve grew exponentially. Let me show you how to be more efficient and effective in this game. I invite you to check out CoachBTraining.com for more resources that you can use to take your game to the next level. I look forward to helping you reach your volleyball goals.